Pray with me. Father, we pause before you. As we open your word, I pray that the words that are spoken will be yours. I pray that you will give us ears to hear and that we will be enlightened and see your word in a fresh new way, that we will be more like you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. We live in a world with very little peace. In fact, there is no peace in this world. And if you have turned on the TV this week and seen any channel, you will see there is the opposite of peace in our world. And as we continue our series of crazy happy, how do you be happy in a world with no peace? And it brings to the point of the Beatitudes and how they are Christ's outline and blueprint of what it means to be a Christian. And if you're going to be happy, you have to understand we have to be all of what Christ wants us to be in Him, and we have to be focused on Him in all areas. That's why the silly illustration of a hamburger, that you cannot take off what you don't want. You have to have it all. Because like we've said, God's not Burger King. You don't get it your way. If you want to be a Christian, you get what it is He wants you to be. And it comes with the understanding, like this illustration we've used, when you become a Christian, you are no longer of this world. You have been made into something completely different. God didn't come into your house and remodel it. He made you something different. He made you a new creation. And so now you're oil and the world is water. And as much as you try to intermingle or find happiness in the world, you are going to separate eventually. You might find temporary happiness, but it won't last. And so if you want God's happiness, what He wants for us, the happiness in a world where there is no peace, then we have to be focused on Him and not the world. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to finish the Beatitudes this morning and what it means to be a Christian. And it takes the whole hamburger to be a Christian. You can't just take part of it. You can't leave off the top bun. If you're going to be a Christian, if you want the happiness that God has, you have to be focused on all of what He wants. And so this morning we're at verse 9. Oh boy. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Peacemakers. Some of you will never be accused of being a peacemaker. And you know who you are. Because we like to stir up stuff. Right? All of us do. Have y'all ever watched chickens? Chickens are mean. They are mean creatures. And one of the things that chickens will do, if you watch them long enough, if they will find a chicken in the bunch that is different, and they will peck at that chicken and they will isolate it and they will pick on it constantly. Pick, peck, just constant. They'll find the chicken that's different because they're mean. That's what we do. And it's what the religious people of Jesus' day did. They found an area where they felt they were superior, and they would look down on everybody else. We do that. We find a place where I think I'm good at something, and then I'll tell you how bad you are at it. God said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Now, exactly what is a peacemaker? Now, think about the fact that there is no peace in this world, and Jesus is the Prince of Peace, right? Turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I'm going to read verse 33. You see, Jesus came so that we would have peace, which implies that we didn't have it before He came. And look at verse 16, John 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace in the world. Peace, you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So think about it. Jesus said, "I've come so you're going to have peace. Before me you didn't have any. Now you're going to have tribulation." And what He's saying is, peace doesn't mean everything is perfect. I love thunderstorms. I absolutely love them. I can remember as a kid going into, we had a carport, but I remember every time there was a thunderstorm, they wouldn't let me go any further than the carport. But I could watch the power of the thunderstorm from the carport and see all that took place. And I was never afraid. Sometimes I should have been, but I was never afraid. Whenever there is a tornado warning or watch, and this happened about 2 years ago, we had a tornado that went just about, I don't know, half a mile west of our house, straight across. I was on the front porch watching it, and I was not afraid. And it's the same principle that Jesus is telling us here. You are going to have tribulation. There are things that are, you are living in a world with no peace. You can watch the news today and see there is all kind of unrest. Everybody's upset one way or the other. Somebody's always upset over something. But you can have peace in the midst of that. Now, we are living in a world that is getting further and further away from God. And the more we get away from God, the more tribulation that there is. And what He was telling the people of the day and what He's telling us is, even in the midst of that, you can have peace. Turn over to Romans 28. Romans 8, I'm going to read verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." How can the things of this world work together for good for us? You think, how could God possibly use this, whatever this is in your life, whatever the thunderstorm of the day is, how can it possibly work together for good? Our problem is we want to see beginning to end. We want to, it's like when you punch in the destination in your phone and you want to punch in where I'm going, and then you're going to see a map. Okay? For those of you who use that, I don't. Okay? We want to see the route that God's going to take us to get where He wants us to be. But God's not GPS, okay? What He's wanting us to do is to trust Him. Even in the tribulation, to know He's going to use it for His good and His glory. And if it's good for Him, then it's good for us. So what about being a peacemaker? What does that look like? I want to do something unbelievably out of the norm for a Baptist church. Okay? Y'all should have got a real preacher, I'm just telling y'all. Have you ever heard of Father Sock? Father Sock. He is a Catholic priest who has an enormous following on the internet. Okay? If you have a dry sense of humor, you're going to love this guy. But he clearly defines what it means and what it looks like for you and I to be peacemakers in the world of turmoil. And when you're the different chicken that's getting pecked on by everybody else, what does that look like? Listen to this Catholic priest tell you how to be a peacemaker.
Friends have asked me, how do I deal with bashers? How do I deal with trolls? How do I deal with people who hurt me or spread lies against me? Well, I have to be honest with you. I look at them from perspective. What do I mean by looking at them from perspective? I look at them. I look at what they say on the social media platforms, and then I whisper to them, we will see each other at the last judgment. At the last judgment, everything will be known. At the last judgment, all our lies, all our calumnies, all our uncharitable insults will be known, will be exposed by the Lord. But meanwhile, we just have to suffer. How do I deal with bashers? How do I deal with trolls? I was asked, or I was offered an answer, just ignore them. I don't ignore them. You know why? Because if I ignore them, I might forget about them. And if I forget about them, if they are not in my consciousness, I might forget to pray for them. And praying for them is the minimum of loving them. It is very important to remember those who make life difficult for us, not for the sake of taking revenge, not for the purpose of asking God to punish them for what they do to us, but rather to pray for them so that they may benefit from the blessings that we are receiving. How do I deal with bashers? How do I deal with trolls? How do I deal with those who lie about me? I have to tell you that I thank God for them. Honestly, frankly, I thank God for them. You know why? Because they keep me humble. They prevent ego from being bloated. Because humility is not just about saying no to praise. Humility is also accepting criticism, accepting attacks against you, but you do not allow them to stick to you. And the instrument for them not to stick to you is wrap yourself in oil. And that oil is called the oil of prayer. If you pray and people praise you, it will not stick to you. It will not remain in your head because they will just roll down. If you pray and people criticize you or utter slander against you, they will not stick to you also. You know why? Because you have wrapped yourself by the grace of God. The trolls, the people who make life difficult for us, they are there for a purpose. They have a purpose in our lives. God does not like liars. God does not like calumniators. God does not like slanderers. But if slanderers and calumniators and liars are present in our lives, they still serve a purpose. Because in the words of St. Paul, everything works out for the good of those who love God. Even slanderers and calumniators and liars and gossipers can be used by God to make us more humble, to make us purer of heart, to make us more loving. How do I deal with bashers? How do I deal with trolls? Love them. Ask the Lord, Lord, how do you look at bashers? How do you look at trolls? How do you look at liars against me? I am sure you love them. For a while, I might have hatred in my heart. For a while, I might entertain thoughts of revenge against them. But Lord, keep my wounds clean. I have been wounded. I have been hurt. But do not allow the virus of revenge, the virus of taking vengeance, the virus of getting even with those who attack us, to ever infect me. Lord, keep my wounds clean, because clean wounds also heal faster. How do you deal with your enemies? How do you deal with those who make life difficult for you? Love them like Jesus.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And then look at verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteous' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you want to be a peacemaker, you're going to be persecuted. And the important thing for us to remember is to keep into perspective. Even those people who are picking at you because you're the different chicken are in your life for a reason. And if they can point you closer to God, isn't it worth it? He said something that stuck with me. I've seen this like four times. Praying for somebody is the minimum of loving them. Not praying, God, strike them down with a lightning bolt. Y'all laugh because some of you prayed that prayer. A peacemaker prays for them to know God. I live with a nurse, okay? And I stole one of her first aid kits this morning. Because, think about this. If I cut my finger, just a little paper cut, okay? In perspective of all of this, a paper cut is almost nothing. Okay, in this 200 whatever pounds, a little cut is nothing. But if I cut myself, the first thing she's going to do, she's going to get the... I can't even get it open. She's going to get the first aid kit, and she's going to go get this antiseptic wash. Because what any nurse will tell you, the first thing she's going to do is clean it. She's going to clean it because I don't know how many times I've heard this. Don't let it get infected. Don't let it get infected. What happens when it gets infected? That little cut starts to spread and affect the rest of my body. So you clean it. Don't let it get infected. The problem for us is when we're hurt or when somebody says a lie about us and we want revenge, we're just spreading the infection. And then it will take you over. And when God says, blessed are the peacemakers, that's the people who clean their wounds really fast and focus on the fact that I'm going to be persecuted because of who I am in Him. And so if I clean my wounds and don't focus on the hurt, focus on the healing, God can use me. But for us, so often we don't clean our wounds. We start focusing on, how am I get even? They're lying about me. I don't care. I don't care. Say what you want to. Like He said, the last judgment's coming. And then it's all going to be told. When I was running a large distribution center, and I promoted a girl who had never been in management before, and I told her this. I said, if you've never been in management before, understand this. Every day you walk through that door, somebody's mad at you. About something, somebody's mad at you. They're never all going to be happy. Somebody's mad at you. I said, when you can get to the place where you walk through that door and know they're mad at you, and I don't care, I'm still going to treat them the same, then you'll be happy. As a Christian, somebody's going to be mad at you all the time. But if you treat them the same and love them like God wants you to love them, you'll be happy. But when you let their hurt affect you, then the infection's going to be spread and you're not going to be happy. You're going to be focused on the pain. So if we finish off our hamburger, the lettuce is the peacemaker. If you're still following along with me, the peacemaker is called the sons of God. And then the top bun is persecuted, which is a promise. It's a promise. You're going to be persecuted. Now, we don't know persecution like some Christians in the world do, but you know some sort of persecution, whether small as it may be, if you are a Christian and don't hide it, you know some sort of persecution. And so, persecuted equals the kingdom of heaven. So, if you were like I was for a good portion of my life and missed completely the Beatitudes, they make up, from top bun to bottom bun, what it means to be a Christian. The most clear example, and it's Jesus laying it out, if you're going to be a Christian, this is what it's going to take. And it takes all of it. I can't just be part of it. Because if I'm just part of it, I'm never going to be happy. And that's what God wants. God wants us to be happy. God wants you to be happy. And that's why He laid it out for us. If you want to be a follower of mine, be this, and you'll be happy. Pray with me. Father, we thank You that You loved us enough to die for us. And Your desire is for us to be happy in a world where there is no happiness. And to find peace in the midst of turmoil. Father, I pray for us in this room that we see You more clearly. We understand what it means to be a follower of Christ. I pray for anybody sitting here that doesn't know You, I pray that their heart be drawn to You, that Your Holy Spirit would move in their lives and they would come to know You. For those of us who have been following You, maybe we have wounds that are infected. Father, I pray that we give them to You and let them be healed. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.